Working all the time, organizing. All right, so you can read. We've got some great stories up there, and we have many more to go through this hour as well, in terms of news, interest, and what's happening out there. Okay, we've been listening to Dr. Russell Blaylock. He has, again, done a tremendous service by being so forthright, as he always is. This was an interview done with Dr. Sherry Tenpenny. We want to thank Sherry for her outstanding work and leadership in this whole nightmare from the beginning. So there we go. Now, I've got one or two more short pieces I can play. I think they're probably worth listening to. So let's go ahead and listen to the next one. 38. Okay. There we go. All right. Erica, anything you want to say before we dive into these last two pieces with Dr. Blaylock?
No, I just think he's a very he's a fresh voice and a very competent voice at that, and it's really, I think, enlightening to hear his perspective on it. Everything he's saying is spot on.
Oh, yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. All right, here we go. Let's see where we go.
They discovered in clinical studies and in their molecular studies was that it blocks the ability of the spike protein to interact with the ACE2 receptor and prevents replication of the virus inside of the neuron or the microglial immune cell in the brain. And so it's something that is highly valuable that is not being added to these protocols. And I wrote an article, it's a detailed article on immunoexcitotoxicity with the cytokine storm. Well, what happens in the brain is a cytokine storm. Everybody's forgetting the excitotoxic arm of this. That's the final most destructive arm, is excitotoxicity. No one's talking about it.
To keep it real easy, think MSG. And if you think you buy a package with a label on the front that says contains no MSG, that it really doesn't have any MSG in it, you better think again. Do a simple search. MSG, other names. MSG, monosodium glutamate, other names. This is the excitotoxin that he is talking about, MSG. But MSG is hidden in dozens of other food additives, okay?
A number of these people admitted to hospitals are being given intravenous and feeding tubes, diets that are very high in glutamate and other excitotoxins. Their brain is pouring out excitotoxins. Excitotoxins damage every organ in the body. If you have myocarditis, your heart is filled with high levels of excitotoxins, which is damaging not only the neural systems in the heart, but the heart cells themselves. It triggers inflammation. I tried to contact some of these guys, like Dr. McCullough, to tell him, you're put on your protocol, quercetin, 250 milligrams once a day. You might as well just pour it out on the floor. You don't absorb hardly any quercetin, and one dose, 250 milligrams, nothing. You need the nano quercetin, given 250, 500 milligrams three times a day, and the nano curcumin. The studies that were done with nano curcumin show that even in the seriously ill patients, they get significantly better because it's a blocking these entries of the virus and the toxicity of the spike protein. So these things need to be on a protocol. I've written an article which I went through.
Okay, I'm going to pause there and move ahead. I think you got that. Excitotoxicity is not good at all under any circumstance. So you've got to learn to read labels and understand what it is in the box or the package that you're buying. Again, MSG, other names. Do a search. You'll find it. People just don't know what they're eating, Erica. They don't have any idea.
No, and it's disguised so that they don't know. But just to reiterate what he was saying about these compounds like quercetin and the turmeric or curcumin, these are kind of doing double duty if you can get them to where they need to go. The curcumin has been found to bind to the spike protein and prevent it from attaching to the receptor, ACE2 receptor. And I think the quercetin to a certain degree, but there's a wide range of bioflavonoids. Green tea, the EGCG in green tea will also do that very effectively. And then they also have very potent antioxidant activity, so that can battle some of the inflammatory damage that's occurring when this stuff gets into the brain, if it can get into the brain. And then that's his point. Many of these bioflavonoids are not very well absorbed, so they don't really do much. You spend a lot of money, but they don't really translate into any benefit because you're not absorbing them or utilizing them. So if you can find supplements, these bioflavonoid supplements, in a nano form, mm-hmm. and even preferably a lipo nano form, a little bit goes a long way, and they will be very beneficial in battling some of these effects from the spike and the inflammation.
All right, let me say another thing. Another way to look at this, for all of you who have been vaxxed, your immune system is under mortal attack. You are in a position, however, to do some things that will partially restore immunocompetency in your body. This is crucial. And it's very important to understand that these supplements are crucial. You can do things to help bring back immunocompetency. One of the things, and I would tell you this if it weren't on my site and I wasn't selling it for the last 17 years or whatever, one of the best things I have ever seen is Allicin C, to help rebuild and restore at least a measure of immune competency. I have had two people in the last month, Erica?
Mm-hmm.
I think I told you this. Two people who were very sick that I knew, and I was able to get them sent Allicin C. In both cases, they were near hospitalization. In both cases, within 2 days, they were up and walking around and functional. Now, take that for what it's worth. I think you know me well enough. I wouldn't exaggerate. I'm not saying it's a cure-all. I'm not saying it's going to reverse the shots you got. I'm not saying it's going to give you a whole new immune system. You are going to have to do many things to build back immunocompetence. That's on you. You took the shot, you didn't know, you got lied to. It's a bioweapon. So keep those things in mind. No excitotoxins, no MSG, Do the search, MSG, other names. Remember Allison C. For that matter, remember OxyC, which has been around for over 120 years now and does wonderful things to clean the blood. So these are things that you do have as options. They're out there for you to choose.
Yeah, there is a lot now. I mean, we're finding out more all the time how to mitigate some of this damage.
It's on us, and we're going to have to look. You've got no immune system left. That's where they're taking us, all of us. That's where they want us all to go. They want us to have HIV, AIDS. That's the game. Take down the blood, destroy the blood, destroy the heart, destroy the immune system. What do you got left? A hole in the ground with a body in it. All right.
Yep.
Okay, so let me go back to this. This has to do with now transmission of spike proteins. I think he's going to get a little bit into transmission and shedding. This is very important, and you know we have spent a lot of time on this.
Is spewing live viruses onto other people or whole attenuated viruses onto other people for which they contract that particular infection. This transmission that I think is spike proteins that are being spread either by physical contact, or we know that the spike protein in the virus concentrates in the mouths of fully vaccinated people 251 times greater than unvaccinated people. And if you've got and people that have had a transmission event, let's say that they've been around fully vaccinated people and they come down with symptoms, they get irregular periods, they get headaches, they get some blood clotting issues, they get coughing, they get sick. Do you think these types of technologies you were talking about with the nano curcumin and the nano quercetin at much higher doses, do you think that will help to neutralize the spike protein?
Okay, I guess that was the end of the recording. Let me see if it'll play anymore. It did stop.
Sure, take the nano curcumin.
Okay, there we go.
For the last 3 years, I've never gotten a cold or flu or anything. I used to get the flu every year, just a mild case, but I don't get anything. My wife doesn't either. We take it all the time. I've talked to a lot of people. They quit having them. Well, if you look at the literature, all of these things are powerfully antiviral, and they affect numerous viruses. The most powerful anti-cytomegalovirus substance, when you even count antiviral medication, is Valkylin. So it's fine. It kills dengue virus. I mean, some of the worst of the virus, it kills. Yes, and the other thing is keeping your immune system boosted. You know, like myo-inositol produces a general immune stimulation so your immune system stays healthy. And if you add IP6, it'll wipe out most anything. it really works well. So what you want to do is, if you think you've been exposed or you're having early symptoms, you want to stimulate your immune system and kill off the virus as quickly as possible.
Okay. There you go. Point being, there are things out there that you can do to help your bludgeoned immune system come back and function better. I'm not going to ever say it'll cure, it'll reverse. I won't do that because I don't know. But you can do things to give yourself some immune strength and competence that has been taken from you. MSG, never. Excitotoxins, never.
I would add in there the aspartame. That's the other big one.
Oh, terrible. Absolutely terrible. Allison C., proven over and over and over and over again to be, in my view, and I've said this before, the most effective, broad-based, natural antibiotic on the planet. Give yourself the advantage. Follow what you've heard on this program. Listen to the program. Share the program. It'll be up there. They all are. Okay, we're going to move on to some other things now. Erica, anything you want to say to wrap this up, this part?
Well, the other two things he mentioned was a supplement or a phytochemical called Bicolin, also known as Skullcap. And that, yeah, that's got a lot of antiviral properties, although, you know, we're not necessarily dealing with a virus with the injectable, but very, yeah, look into that. It's B-A-I-C-A-L-I-N, Bicolin. And the other thing was IP6, inositol hexaphosphate, which many people with cancer have used that with some success. So these are very, very good substances for stimulating and bolstering the immune system.
Okay. What a chore, huh? We have 4 billion people injected with this liquid death,
mm-hmm.
and so many pathways it can take the body down. But we do have things we can do to make a difference. All right, now forgive me. I'm going all over. I've got 16 windows open here. Hold on. All right. Erica sent me a story early today. New study from Poland shows spike protein accumulates in the bone marrow, damaging stem cells, causing blood disorders, and cancers. It's a big story. It'll be in headlines. It's up, or should be. Tell us about that, and then I'm going to play Dr. Chetty, and then I'm going to do some examples of this.
Yeah, as if we need more bad news.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the more recent study that has been going around that caught headlines was that the spike protein, when it's produced inside the cell, can translocate into the nucleus and then block at least two DNA repair proteins, which essentially means that the damage that our DNA sustains on a daily basis may not be repaired, which is sets the stage for cancer, almost guaranteed. And now this study out of Poland has also shown, and this was in vitro, that this spike protein can get into the bone marrow and affect the production of stem cells, both hematopoietic and progenitor cells. Which essentially means, you know, if these things, if your blood cells and stem cells cannot be regenerated, you don't get regenerated. And the consequence of that would be, the most obvious would be leukemia. But before the leukemia is actually diagnosed, this type of pathology manifests as bleeding disorders, bruising, clotting, all the things we're seeing now with people's blood.
Okay. Let me play a little bit of Dr. Chetty. This is a brilliant man. He's from South Africa, doctor, and Indian derivation. There are a lot of Indians in South Africa, and he is—he doesn't mince words here. I like this. I find it to be the most succinct, or is that succinct? I always get that confused. It's a very succinct summation of what we're dealing with here. So take a listen.
Perspective around what's happening is vitally important. We need to understand what the aim is. Everyone knows that there's inconsistencies, that there's fear-mongering, that there's coercion, but we need to understand why. Why is that there? Now, the most important thing I think for us to understand is that the pathogen that was causing all the death in COVID illness. Now, I use the word COVID illness because we haven't really isolated the coronavirus that causes it. But in COVID illness, the pathogen is spike protein. And spike protein is what the vaccine is meant to make in your body. So if I had to give you my opinion as to what is happening on a global scale, and a lot of the work that I'm doing behind the scenes is in this direction, spike protein is one of the most contrived toxins or poisons that man has ever made.
Okay, I'm going to back that up because these words ought to be chiseled in granite somewhere.
Protein is one of the most contrived toxins or poisons that man has ever made. And the aim of this toxin is to kill billions without anyone noticing it. So it's a poison with an agenda. Now, we've got an engineered virus and we've got a mandated vaccine that follow on each other. So basically what looks like has transpired here, they've engineered a virus and put on this weapons grade package onto it called spike protein. Now spike protein, remember, most elaborately engineered toxin. Now it's been put into a virus, or let's call it a vector, and we've exposed the planet to a small dose of it. Now initially spike protein triggers an allergic reaction. And the allergic reaction, if untreated, causes death. It's what we've seen with COVID illness. But that is not the end game. That is to test the water. So you're going to get a small percentage of people react. We'll see all the deaths. The eighth day is when this reaction occurs. So best we isolate the planet for 14 days. So nobody notices when this occurs. People get to hospital too late. We mandate protocols in hospitals to engineer death and damage, to steer all the fear and the rest that we need. We create all the confusion. We make sure we steer humanity towards mass formation. We take away all the faith that we have, all the hope. We keep people isolated. So we've been conned into thinking giving away our freedoms would be the best thing for us. So the safest place for us was in jail. And that's where we all are at this point in time. But the game that they played with this engineered virus was to justify the vaccination of the planet. Now the vaccination of the planet will expose us to spike protein for a longer period. So spike protein, if we understand what it's meant to do, yes, initially it will trigger an immune response and an allergic kind of reaction and we'd have immediate deaths from that. But you don't poison someone and they die immediately, you'll notice the poisoning. So straight away, when you give a vaccine, the first 14 days after a vaccine, any side effects cannot be attributable to the vaccine because that is where all the allergic reactions would lie. Following that, we're going to see the endothelial injuries that this vaccine causes with its, or the spike protein, with its influence on ACE2 receptors. Those are the deaths that...
Endothelial damage. Endothelial cells, Erica, are...
Those are the cells lining your blood vessels. Just one cell thick. It's very delicate.
And the spike protein goes right after to lock onto them, all right?
Pinned to follow. And they will never be pinned onto spike protein, a very well-engineered toxin. Now, spike protein is also a membrane protein. So the mRNA will distribute this throughout our body. It will be made in various tissues around our body. It will be incorporated into those membranes around our body, into those specific tissues. Those tissues will be recognized as foreign and will trigger a host of autoimmune responses. So the deaths that are meant to follow the vaccinations will never be able to be pinned on the poison. They will be too diverse, they will be too many, and they will be too in broader time frame for us to understand that we have been poisoned.
Remember what Dr. Blaylock said? We're going to see diseases that we've never seen before, in numbers that we've never seen before, that don't even have names. That's what Dr. Chetty is talking about right there.
I think this is the big plan. It is dependent. This toxin is dependent on the host's response to it. Mm. Just like the eighth day and what followed COVID infection or illness was dependent on a host response. So we got mild, moderate, and severe illness post eighth day, and it confused all of us. So we keep talking about COVID pneumonia, but we're chasing the virus, and the virus was just the vector to give us a taste of the poison. Now this toxin in the long term is going to get people with pre-existing illness to have those illnesses exacerbated. It has bits of prion in it. It has bits of HIV protein in it. It is definitely engineered. So people with cancers are going to have their cancers flare up, and we'll say they died of the cancer. People with vessel injuries or predisposition, like our diabetics and hypertensives, are going to have strokes and heart attacks and the rest at varying times, and we'll attribute those to their pre-existing conditions. People are going to develop over time autoimmune conditions, a diversity of which will never be addressed by any pharmaceutical intervention because they are far too targeted. And so we've got a rough road coming. But I think if people understand what the intention is, then we'll understand why what's happened has happened. The illogic, the coercion, the suppression is all warranted if you understand that there is a bigger plan. This plan is to make sure that we can control and kill off a large proportion of our population without anyone suspecting that we were poisoned. And so I think the justification for everything we see is warranted in understanding the end game. We've given up our freedoms. We were told that jail is the best place for us to be secure. So we willingly went down that road. Now today, if we want our freedoms back, they've got a mandated vaccine. We were herded like cattle into a kraal, and the only way out is through the dip. And that is where we lost our freedoms. And so I think there's a huge picture at play. The vaccines make absolutely no sense. We were sold the vaccine as our savior from the start. And if we look at the science does not play out. The vaccine is absolutely nonsensical. We keep fighting about how good or bad the vaccine is. I just want to make 2 points on the vaccinations. Vaccines are meant to stimulate immunity, and in doing so, prevent infection and prevent transmission. That is what gives a vaccine a population or group benefit. So if you take the vaccine, by not getting the virus or transmitting it, you protect me. Now, clearly, that has not occurred. The vaccines do not do that. Now they claim that the vaccine has a benefit in preventing severe illness and death. That is a therapeutic benefit. My intervention with treatment does the same, but I do not expose the entire world to the side effects of my treatment. I only expose sick people to that. And that therapeutic benefit does not come from immunity, but it comes from the vaccine exposing you to spike protein and building a measure of tolerance to an allergen, not to any immune-mediated response to a virus. So the virus distracts us from the big picture. It's spike protein that's the toxin here.
Okay, there you go. I think we've made the case very clear now that you do have an issue. For the unvaxxed out there, you cannot put yourself in close proximity to vaccinated people and expect not to possibly pay a very severe price. There have been fatalities, have there not, Erica? Do we know?
I don't know any person. I do know multiple unvaxxed people who are hospitalized now. I mean, you know, trouble breathing. And a somewhat alarming thing is they are clotting. They are having clotting issues. These are unvaxxed people. But they've obviously been around vaxxed. You know, do they have a true infection of a virus? I don't know. Maybe they've just been spiked. Maybe their bacteria has now acquired the material to begin producing clotting toxins. We'll never know because the information isn't being shared. You know, these phony tests are worthless. They're going to slap whatever label they want on these patients and give them whatever protocol they decide, usually inappropriate, something to make them lots of money and have them go out the back door.
I would like to say also that I have a friend who came down with unvaxxed, what we feel was the flu. He unfortunately went to the hospital, was promptly tested, with PCR and told, oh, you have COVID. And then they had a second test, which apparently contradicted that to a degree. At any rate, the poor guy is in the hospital.
Tested for HIV simultaneously?
Correct. Yeah, they're starting to do that now. So they'll be using HIV as another excuse here. Plausible deniability. It's not COVID. It's something else. It's always something else now. You watch. Anyway, this poor gentleman, and I wrote to him multiple times. I said, do not allow them to give you remdesivir. It will damage your kidneys, and your lungs will begin to fill with fluid, and you will not be able to breathe, and you will end up on a ventilator, and you will end up dead. I got an email from this gentleman today, and he said, well, I asked my doctor, and they did give me remdesivir, even though he told them not to. But the doctor said, don't worry, it wasn't very much, and your kidneys are fine. Meanwhile, this gentleman's breathing is becoming more and more difficult, and I'm not convinced he's going to make it.
Yeah, this is the people I know are in the same situation. I mean, these shenanigans that they're pulling at these hospitals. I mean, you heard, or if you're listening to Nurse Ann, last 2 weeks, she pretty much told us what goes on when people are admitted. And the hanky-panky that goes on with the protocols.
This gentleman was given remdesivir without his permission. You go into a hospital, you need to be your own advocate. No one's going to advocate for you, not on the hospital staff, unless you're extremely lucky.
No, and these people are not to be trusted, not with their pattern of deceit and fraud. Are you kidding?
It's not good. So you go in there, and you look over on the right-hand side, and you'll find an article which has, from the federal government, that remdesivir can be used, but so can ivermectin. And you make sure you print that out if you begin to get sick, and you keep that handy, and you take that with you, and you say, no, ever remdesivir in my IV drip bag. I want ivermectin. And it's right there. I've got the federal forms. They're right there. You can look over in the archives. So this issue is really down and dirty. It's down and deadly is what it is. They're not playing games. They are killing people.
Yep.
Dr. Sherry Tenpenny said herself, America's hospitals are by and large now killing factories, and doctors should be indicted for murder. That's what she said.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to argue that. And then there's some great doctors out there probably listening right now who are not that way. Excuse me, but there are many who are in it for the money. Do you understand? And I think some of you do. If you have an IV drip bag for one day with remdesivir in it, the hospital earns $8,000 for two bags one day. Think about it. That's a lot of money. It's all about money. Money, money, money. Okay, let's go back to the story from Poland about spike protein accumulating in the bone marrow, damaging stem cells, causing blood disorders and cancers. We have cancers now just exploding, as you said many months ago was going to happen. And you were right.
Yeah, it is. It's all kinds, but, you know, most notably the most aggressive ones, well, there are several are aggressive, but these blood cancers are turning up all over the place.
Okay, I've got a bunch of where did you sent these over? Thank you. Where did you get these? From social media platforms?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, these have to do with cancers. The first one is leukemia. Woman writes in, I am extremely interested in this topic. I just had my first pap of my life and found out I have cervical cancer. I am not dancing, but live in close proximity to someone who did. I am not taking the shot, but I live near someone who did take the shot. So this woman and her first pap smear had cervical cancer show up.
That's worrisome. If, you know, I think we might have mentioned this particular one some time ago, but I mean, women that do have abnormal pap smears every now and then, we don't know if this is, you know, a full-blown cancer, is it just abnormal cells? But if she's becoming susceptible to cancer just by being around vax people,
well, that's worrisome.
Looks, and maybe the spike protein, you know, if enough of it gets into you and it's interfering with your immunity, then you're at risk of cancer too.
I think you can take that to the bank. I think it's an absolutely correct statement. Here's another one. I really need to reach out here. My sister's father-in-law, who is like a grandpa to me, very close, he had some bad bouts of vertigo for a few months. So the doctors gave him ongoing testing for approximately 6 months. They did MRI, CAT scan, blood labs weekly, urine tests, basically everything under the sun. They finally found some fluid behind his inner ears and corrected that, and his issues subsided. He received the COVID shot just over a month ago. I want to repeat, he was blood tested for over 6 months straight and nothing was found to be abnormal, minus a UTI with elevated levels one time, which was treated and cleared. He gets the Pfizer shot approximately a month and a half ago. Within 3 weeks of the shot, he falls in the basement and smashes his head open on a doorway and faints. He is brought to emergency where they do testing again, but this time they find he has leukemia. So 6 months of testing, no cancer. After the shot, they find blood cancer. He passed last week after a few rounds of chemotherapy, which did nothing but cause him pain. Has anyone had a similar experience here? I'm sick to my stomach over this. It makes no sense for nothing to show up for 6 months or years, and then right after the shot, he gets cancer and dies rapidly. These things are fast.
Makes you wonder.
Well, you talked about the leukemia being a hyper fast-acting variety, not the slow, treatable type. It's different. It's like Dr. Blaylock said. We're seeing things we're not seeing. And all of a sudden,
well, there was an interview with Del Bigtree a few months ago where a clinician came on and was talking about her experience and seeing this explosion of cancers, and some are so fast spreading that they don't even have time to put together a treatment protocol and the person's dead.
I remember that. That's pretty scary. Not that I'm a big fan of traditional cancer treatments. Don't like them.
No.
Cut, slash, and burn. But right. The point is, the rapidity with which the cancer overtook the person's body was so fast that they couldn't even put their usual run-of-the-mill protocol together and emplace it. Put it in place. They couldn't do it. All right, here's another one. Yes, my friend's healthy father, in no meds, taking nothing, very active, was diagnosed with leukemia after his first Pfizer shot. Dead within a month. I am so sorry for your loss. Thank you for sharing. It's incredible. Here's another one. So very sorry. This is too unbelievable, but true. My beautiful cousin had her shots. Not sure of the timeline, but she went down fast. Rare acute leukemia. She was gone in less than 2 weeks. This just happened. We lost 3 in 6 weeks. So there you go.
That's fast.
2 weeks? Crazy. Here's one more. Actually, I got a couple more here. A paisano friend of mine had a blood test done in April, and everything came back negative. No problems. April. In May, he got one of his poisonous, untested bioweapons. Maybe his second MD later on. I can't confirm that. First thing was April. He's fine. May 25th, he admitted himself to the hospital, not feeling well. On May 30th, he was dead. He was diagnosed with acute leukemia. His white blood count was through the roof. Interesting, it doesn't show up on his April blood test at all. Taking the poisonous, untested bioweapon is worse than playing Russian roulette. Don't do it. So this is, remember, designed to attack the blood. And obviously it's triggering leukemia, extremely fast-acting leukemia. This is really, this is beyond evil. I don't even have words for it.
It is, it really is.
Here's another one. This is my first-hand experience. This is an in-law of a blood relative of mine. There's a quote here. Okay, I talked to Mom. Mom called such and such directly. Here's the story directly. She got the second shot. She woke up the next day covered in bruises and was very sick. They went to the hospital and ran tests on her. The hospital said, "Oh, looks like you have leukemia." They said, "The vaccine brought the leukemia out." Sure. Sure it did. They sent her home. She died 4 days later. What do you say to this? Except don't get the damn shots.
Yeah. Pretty obvious what's going on.
Pretty obvious. My dad, who's 63, has been in the hospital for the best part of 2 weeks after a serious reaction to the Oxford AstraZeneca shot. His blood platelets went all the way down to 2, and they still can't get them above 12. It's meant to be between 130 and 150. His whole body was covered in massive bruises and swellings and cuts. They wouldn't stop bleeding due to his blood not being able to clot because he had no platelets. It's been a massive scare for all of the family, and we're still waiting for some sort of improvement. And it's on his notes that it's due, his own chart, that it's due to the vaccine. They actually wrote that on his chart. That's the second reference to that. He's never been ill a day in his life, has never spent an overnight in a hospital since the day he was born, has never been on any medication. Then he gets a jab that's meant to protect him, and it makes him sick. He's to have a bone marrow biopsy tomorrow and is waiting on his second CAT scan. Has had so many blood tests that I'm surprised he has any blood left at all. It has now triggered a condition called ITP that he will probably have and be on medication for the rest of his life. Plus, he's been told not to have the second shot. Interesting. All right, I got a couple more here. A friend of mine, an alt health practitioner, has told me that she has known 3 people diagnosed with leukemia a few weeks after they got the shot. Someone responds, "Carcinogens and cancer cells have always been in the jabs. This contributes to why cancer is so common now."
And now, this takes it to a whole new level. This isn't just toxins. This is genetic modification
to cause cancer.
Among other things.
Apparently, among many other things, some of which don't even have names. I clean houses, and 3 of my clients who took the shot now have cancer. 1 leukemia, 1 lung cancer, and 1 liver cancer. And that person just passed away at age 64. My daughter-in-law's mother has two tumors in her brain, and finding out 1.5 months after getting the shot, she has only 2 months to live. They took one tumor out, but the other was too risky. And finally, and remember, we're not hearing one millionth of what's going on out there. Yes, 80-plus-year-old man in remission from cancer died within 2 weeks of the shot. He was a personal friend of my mother's. Rest in peace. So we're seeing, and what did you say, throwing lighter fluid on cancer? That was a very good analogy.
Yep. I mean, just all the checkpoints seem to be just obliterated. I mean, you have the initial insult, the damage to the DNA, and now the DNA can't repair itself. You've got interference with the P53, the suicide protein there, so the cell doesn't commit apoptosis. So now you've got a proliferation of damaged cells. And now you've got T cells that are being depleted because they're preoccupied with dealing with a spike protein. Then you've got spike proteins migrating into the bone marrow so that new cells cannot be generated or formed properly. You've got that kisspeptin or metastin signaling protein that's not behaving the way it's supposed to because the spike protein's interfering with it. You've got a hypoxic environment due to microclots. I mean, where does it end? It's cancer's almost guaranteed.
Well, you called a long time ago and you said we were heading toward a pandemic of cancer. That's what it looks like. I mean, that's I just read it.
The whole every response in the body following these injections is highly inflammatory because it's trying to, I guess, contain the assault, the foreign genetic material and the protein that's being produced. So the body's in an inflamed state. It's hypoxic, and now it has all these pathways that are completely dysregulated, overrun, broken. And to think now, as Russell Blaylock was saying, prepare yourself to see this occurring in children.
How can anyone with a heart or a conscience, first of all, allow a child to be given something like this when there is no pandemic of it? But
the parents can feign ignorance, you know, if they've been brainwashed. But the medical establishment, the people actually promoting and administering these kill shots, that's what you got to wonder about.
I've always said the stealing of childhood innocence is maybe the greatest crime on the planet. But now we're up to stealing of childhood lives. So we've upped the game.
Yeah, this is going to be bordering on horrific, if not outright horrific.
I think it's already there. Mm-hmm. I think also we're just not hearing stories. Somebody dies in the hospital, they die of leukemia. It doesn't make the news because it's not COVID, right?
Right. Yep.
They die of a brain tumor. It's not COVID. It's just a brain tumor. This is a game they're going to play now. It's
well, and meanwhile, the unvaxxed will be given diagnoses of COVID.
Oh, sure. Oh, yeah. Just like that gentleman I know in the hospital. He's in the COVID, I guess the COVID ward now. At any rate, he's just one. Hospitals are essentially full. We have a long way to go with this, but if you are careful, and God help you if you work in an office with 6 or 7 people who have been vaccinated, I don't know what to tell you to do except quit. It's, you know, what's your job worth? I understand that many people have to have the job. I got it. But what's your life worth? You need to ask that question. Thank you, Erica, as always.
Okay, Jeff. My pleasure.
Okay. Talk soon. Take care.
Okay. Have a good evening.
Thank you all for being here, and I hope that those 2 hours were helpful. They will be posted shortly, and you can share them and do whatever you want with them. Talk to you tomorrow night. Be well, take care, prepare, and beware.